And from the snowy studios of KPCW in Park City, this is Cool Science Radio, science and technology that's interesting, fun, and understandable. I'm John Wells. I'm here with my co-host, Lynn Ware Peake. Our guest this morning is Andrew Parker, who's the chief marketing officer for the Leonardo Museum in Salt Lake. They have a new exhibit that just opened. It's entitled Alien Worlds and Androids. Alien Worlds and Androids brings guests face-to-face with worlds far beyond their own and introduces the technology that takes them there.
I can't wait for that. That's going to be so interesting, and I haven't made it down there yet, but we're going to go.
Oh, yeah.
Field trip, JW. Good morning. I'm Lynn Ware Peake. Before this first guest, John and I thought we would introduce a number of cool stories that have surfaced recently. It'll be a fun show today. Today's Cool Stories and Andrew Parker when we return. And you're listening to Cool Science Radio. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Juliana Miller from Miller Orthodontics, a proud supporter of The Local View with Randy Barton. With a combined 45 years of orthodontic experience, my husband and I are now raising our family and working full-time in the Park City community. There are so many reasons to smile in Park City. More information at m2ortho.com.
And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peake. We have a bunch of really cool stories, and before we introduce them, we have a news update for you, Lynn has for you.
That's right. As you've most likely heard by now, Interstate 80 westbound has been closed at Jeremy Ranch for all of this morning. That's because of a fatal semi-truck accident that happened late last night near Parley's Summit. Lisa Miller from UDOT has been giving us regular updates, and what we've heard in the last few moments is that I-80 westbound will be open. At least some portion of the lanes will be open between 20 and 30 minutes from now. So I-80 westbound has been closed. Traffic has been rerouted, and if you're out there now and you need to get to Salt Lake, still it's going to be another 20 to 30 minutes. You can go around, head east on I-80 towards Colville, and then 84 west into Ogden, and then south on I-15. That'll take you about an hour and a half to get to Salt Lake City. So that's what folks are doing. We did get an update from someone on I-84 now who says that it's clear, lightly snowing, no traffic. So that's definitely a viable way to go if you need to get to Salt Lake. So again, I-80 westbound lanes have been closed all morning, and traffic diverted around to I-80 or even Provo Canyon if you're going to the southern end of the Salt Lake Valley. An oil spill, a fatal semi-truck accident that happened late last night near Parley's Summit. And again, things should begin to normalize within 20 to 30 minutes, but there will still be some intermittent closures on and off. So really, if you can postpone your trip to Salt Lake, I would suggest doing so. And 20 to 30 minutes. We'll keep you updated at the bottom of the hour. We'll have another update. So we'll go to a quick underwriting break, and we'll be back with Cool Science Radio.
This is Angela from Peak Art & Frame, sponsors of Cool Science Radio on KPCW. Peak Art & Frame offers local photography and artwork, as well as digital printing, custom framework, and mirrors. Open Monday through Saturday and located in the Walmart Shopping Center, 649-0801 or peakartandframe.com.
And welcome back to Cool Science Radio, John Wells with Lynn Ware Peake. We have a great guest for you at 9:30, Andrew Parker, Chief Marketing Officer from the Leonardo, to talk about their new exhibit, Androids and Alien Worlds, and we're looking forward to that. But before, we have these news stories that have come up, these cool science stories that we just got a kick out of, and we just wanted to talk about them this morning. And we have a bunch of them, and I thought that that we would start with Lady Gaga's Super Bowl performance. I mean, she was...
That's right. You know, JW, I texted you knowing that you're a Patriots fan, a rather rabid Patriots fan. Mm. I texted you halfway or towards the end of the game.
Towards the end of the game.
Such an incredible game. And I never watched the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, I came in after Lady Gaga and after the halftime performance. So what you're going to talk about was really news to me.
Well, I guess it's like organized chaos right after the first half is over. They've got a whole bunch of people they've got to get out on the field. They need to set up the stage and everything else. And the whole show starts off with Lady Gaga way up in the air at the top of the stadium, singing a song and dancing and all of that. In the background was this beautiful American flag logo, and then it morphed into a Pepsi logo. And as it turns out, these were autonomous drones, hundreds of them, totally synchronized, and they were there putting this backdrop together.
This is incredible. So autonomous drones, synchronized, hundreds of them. So I would assume that most people just thought it was a screen that was changing its display.
Right.
But these drones are what, about a shoebox size?
And yeah, they're shoebox size. They're about a foot long square. They weigh about 8 ounces. They have this plastic foam body, so if they bump into each other, and they sometimes do, they can get it together. They're not flashy consumer quadcopters. They're these special little light things, and they have thousands of different color combinations. And as it turns out, they weren't actually there live with her, because there's something that says you cannot be within 30 miles of Houston's football stadium if there are people in it. Not that drones cannot be within 30 miles, but they actually filmed that portion several evenings before.
And then just superimposed it behind a live Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. So they've used these autonomous drone swarms, shall mm-hmm. we call them, because they do operate, in essence, like, even like swallows who are, swallows, but the birds that fly in synchronicity. I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, and swarms of bees and that sort of thing. As it turns out, these don't operate like swarms because they are totally independent. Each one of them communicates wirelessly with a central computer so it can execute its dance routine and throw the lights up it's supposed to. It's really oblivious to what the hundreds of drones around it are doing. They all operate independently. And this is from Intel, and the product was called Shooting Star, the technology. And I think they were just at Disney World doing Disney characters up in the sky.
In the sky, wow. What is that going to do to the market for fireworks? You know, you can paint your own sky with autonomous drone swarms.
Yeah, I don't know. There's all sorts of possibilities there, I guess.
Wow. Well, speaking of cool science stories, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then there's a couple of other things, but I really don't understand, like Instagram, for an example. I'm not on Instagram. I'm not on Facebook either, but they're making a big deal out of their new ability to share. So I didn't know if this was a cool story or not, but my daughter said it was, that Instagram, you can share up to 10 photos and videos in a single post versus the older days, several days ago, when you could only do one. What does that mean?
Right, well, from my understanding is that with Facebook or Instagram, you know, it was clunky before. You could post one photo at a time, and then with Facebook you were able to start posting photo collages. And with Instagram, I believe you've been able to post several, you know, a collage, but it would only be, you know, two or three photos at a time. The thing that I see with Instagram, one of the technologies that hasn't been developed is this kind of sharing between Instagram and Facebook, where if you go on Facebook and someone has posted an Instagram photo, you can't, and this is some area of concern for older eyes, you can't expand it.
Like
if you're viewing on your mobile device, for example, a photo collage from Instagram posted on Facebook, you can't expand it to see these photos up close. And so with the ability now to put 10 photos into an Instagram collage, what does that mean? You know, so technology needs to keep up with itself.
Does this mean that that a millennial could send me, instead of one picture, of the sandwich that they're having for lunch. They could send me 10.
They could send before and after pics of that sandwich.
I have fun with the millennials, and I just want to go on the record, even though I give them a hard time about sending me, outside of sending pictures of what they're having for lunch, I actually think our future is safe with them. They're very socially conscious and involved, aren't they?
Actually, I believe that it's not the millennials that are showing, that are sending pictures of their sandwich or what they're making for dinner. I feel like it's the Gen Xers, really, because they're the ones that are more digital. Instead of being digital natives, they're digital immigrants, a little bit like we are. But they're there with the technology, but they don't quite know what to send. So send it. And even people in our generation, JW,
are older.
We're sending lots of pictures of what we're preparing for dinner.
You know, we used to be the younger generation. You remember that? It was a long time ago.
I don't remember
that. You know, to go to a higher level of confusion, Lynn, they have something called snowflakes. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's the snowflake generation. It's the generation before that are younger than millennials and X.
Oh, so this would be those born in, say, 1997 or is it 2000 snowflakes? Where do we get this from?
I think it's late 90s or 2000-ish, yeah. But it's bizarre.
Do you know where the word snowflake comes from?
No, I don't.
Hey, let's go to our next cool story. I like this. Talk about this kayak that is made from Spanish Lexan. What is that material?
Well, it's a material that is used for airplane and jet windshields because it doesn't crack. It's real strong. And if it scratches, you can buff the scratch out. So there's a lot of people that kayak, and they have these pure, transparent, perfectly clear kayaks. So you can kayak along and kind of look down between your legs and see what's cooking, see what's going on in the water.
Mm, wow. That sounds cool.
Now, here's a question for you, because I had a kayak that was was made out of old milk cartons. It was very light. And this one says that these kayaks are lighter than your typical kayak because they're only 47 pounds. That seems heavy, doesn't it?
That does seem heavy.
Do you have a kayak?
I do. I have a whitewater kayak, and it's far less than 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I think these are, you know, about 27 pounds. But if it's a durable material, it's probably a little heavier. But so you can go along in your kayak and look into the ocean below. So if you're down in the Florida Keys, the Bahamas, areas where there's great visibility up to about 100 feet.
And there's good stuff to look at, like coral and fish and stuff, yeah. So it's like having a diving mask on, except it's a very big diving mask and you're in it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, oh boy, I tell you what, this next one I just love. NASA and John Deere have been working together for a bunch of years, and as it turns out, John Deere has been providing tractors that are autonomous and operating by GPS for about 20 years.
I had no idea of this.
Yeah.
How's it been going for the last 20 years? I mean, autonomous technology is still in the stages of a perfection. Most new cars that we purchase now have some element of detecting cyclists, pedestrians on the side of the road, but really, for several decades, John Deere tractors have been semi-autonomous or autonomous?
Totally autonomous, 20 years now. But they don't go very fast. And, you know.
And there have been imperfections.
Well, there shouldn't be anybody out there in the field. So I think if you're in the field, you'll probably get run over if you're in front of one of these things. But there are imperfections because, as it turns out, GPS satellites have a tendency to drift just a little bit. Let's say they drift and the signal's off by 10 feet. Well, if you're driving in a car to a location, 10 feet's not a big deal. But if...
unless there's a pedestrian or cyclist.
Unless, right, but yeah, exactly. But GPS is just for getting you from point A to point B. It's not for driving autonomously. But they have this new GPS, which is that NASA has developed with JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Well, that's their organization, that has these GPS receivers that instead of having errors up to 10 feet, it's good to the inch. And what this means is, the gist of it is, that up to 10% of a field is overlapped. That means that in the old days, it was overlapped with the earlier GPS technology, which meant that it would put double the seed down or double the fertilizer, or the tractor would have to. And when you're talking hundreds and hundreds and sometimes thousands of acres, 10%, 15% is a lot. So now it's down to the inch, and there's no more overlap. So they're becoming a lot more efficient, and the John Deere tractors are getting less wear and tear, and they're using less gas.
Very interesting. So I wonder, with the imperfection and the 10% loss in efficiency, how many farmers, how many large amounts of acreage were actually being tilled, plowed, fertilized, planted, and harvested by autonomous John Deere tractors?
It's a high percentage, but I don't know what the number is. Is that in the article there?
I don't believe so, but saving that efficiency is huge.
Oh, it says Europe and South America, more than 90% autonomous tractors. 90%.
Wow.
But it doesn't say what our percentage is.
Interesting.
This autonomous thing, I mean, autonomous cars, autonomous drones, autonomous everything.
Yeah, even, how about this, in Dubai, autonomous taxi drones.
Whoa.
That means aerial. You know, we talk a lot about our traffic issues here in Park City, mm-hmm. and we have some big goals with transportation, but I don't think we've talked about drones in the air, Uber drones in the air.
Yeah. One of their sheiks put a stake in the ground in 2015 and said that 25% of all transportation in Dubai would be autonomous by the year 2030. That's cars, trains, and helicopters and airplanes. So there's a company in China that is going to be providing a one-person autonomous drone. Looks like a little helicopter. And it will pick you up where you want. You get in, you push a button, and it takes you from point A to point B.
I don't know. What do you think about human participation in that? Would you get into an autonomous drone, JW, to go from here to Kimball Junction?
Yeah. No, I don't think so, no. But they're talking about, well, first of all, they have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they're talking about, they have some traffic there, so this would alleviate the traffic once it gets up there. It has a range of, 30 kilometers, which is 19 miles, and it flies at 60 miles an hour.
And they're on track to do this within months.
They're saying that their first autonomous taxi service will be July of 2017, and they also met with Bebop Gresta from Hyperloop.
Right. So Hyperloop coming first to Dubai?
Well, they're talking about a connection between Abu Dhabi and Dubai, and they're in the planning stages for that. So there might be Hyperloop there as well. So Dubai's putting some cool stuff together.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of all of this autonomous stuff, we even have such a thing now, thanks to Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
As autonomous journalists.
Well, Jeff saw the Washington Post on the blocks, on the sale block a couple of years ago, and it was a pretty attractive price. Jeff Bezos always wanted a newspaper, and he bought the Washington Post. And one of the first things he did was say, we need to put much better technology into the Washington Post. I want to tell a lot of news stories, and we don't have the money to pay for all these humans to do that. So I guess robots or
Newsbots are gathering information, and with an algorithm designed to spot certain types of information, can coalesce the information into a legible article. And mm-hmm. this has been in practice, which I think we've heard about and we've talked several times on this show about. Remember Jerry Kaplan with
of
humans
course.
Need not apply?
Yeah, yeah.
And losing more and more human-sourced jobs to bots. And this is one of them. Had no idea.
And they gave us samples of some articles that were written by NewsBots, and they were really crisp, really tight, and they just went out and they got data. They checked news service sources. I'm not exactly sure how they did that, but
how about fact checking? Are these alternative facts? Are they well fact checked?
Alternative facts. That's a new term, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah. So Heliograph created more than 500 articles. That was as of last year, with very little human intervention, drawing more than 500,000 clicks.
Hmm.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Hey, here's a stock tip. Actually, it's not a stock tip. We don't give stock tips, but but I'm thinking of shorting Amazon stock. And the reason is that Jeff Bezos, who bought Washington Post, and the Washington Post has been very aggressive, not aggressive, but very truthful in their reporting, somewhat truthful in their reporting of Donald Trump. And Donald is not happy with the Washington Post. So Amazon and a lot of the other internet providers of products have gotten sort of a free ride on the tax thing. I think Donald Trump is going to come in there and put together one heck of a taxation plan for Amazon and the others, maybe as a spiteful thing against Donald. Who knows? But he and Jeff Bezos don't get along, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we won't be surprised at that one. Hey, let's take a quick underwriting break, and we'll come back with maybe another cool story, and then stay tuned. We'll be speaking with Andrew Parker of the Leonardo in Salt Lake about androids, a new show, Androids and Aliens, coming our way. Always a great time at the Leonardo. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Dr. Phil Davidson of Davidson Orthopedics, Park City resident and KPCW fan. Our practice specializes in offering a wide array of solutions for knee and shoulder problems. More information is available on our website at davidsonorthopedics.com.
This is Earl Foote, founder of Nexus IT, a proud sponsor of Cool Science Radio on KPCW. Nexus IT provides comprehensive cybersecurity solutions to help protect your business from hackers and today's internet-borne security threats. More information at nexusitc.net or at 435-487-9099.
And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peak. Our guest this morning, Andrew Parker, Chief Marketing Officer for the Leonardo Museum in Salt Lake City. And they have a new exhibit that just opened, Alien Worlds and Androids. Alien Worlds and Androids brings guests face-to-face with worlds far beyond their own and introduces the technology that would take them there. The question, are we alone in the universe? Well, it's fascinated mankind for centuries. Leonardo's latest exhibit will help us understand the possibilities and will also encourage our imaginations. Andrew Parker, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so tell us, what's going on with this new exhibit?
So this is a traveling exhibit, like we've done in the past with mummies or with body worlds, but it's a little bit smaller exhibit, and it's also included in general admission, so there's no upcharge for any of it. But basically, the exhibit is meant to answer the question, are we alone in the universe? And as you go through the exhibit, and as you kind of learn about the different types of alien life that there are, both in space, on our planet, and even in inside our own bodies, the answer is probably a pretty resounding no. We are not alone. There's alien life all around us.
Ask Winston Churchill that question.
Right.
last week it was right. Revealed that in 1939 he wrote an 11-page essay about the possibility of alien life out there and why humans have screwed up the world so badly that he had to believe that there was more intelligent life out there than he was seeing in 1939.
I think you could certainly make an argument for that. I think it's one of those things that, you know, the more we learn about space and the environment of space, and then also just the environments here on Earth, you know, we start to really learn that there are other forms of life that we just, you know, other than human and animal life, that we just haven't really considered.
So I'm curious about the title, Andrew, Alien Worlds and Androids. And as we know, the word android has been sort of hijacked by the mobile device world. We now think of an android as a phone, right?
True.
What is an android?
So an android is it's defined as a robot that can perform a particular task, essentially. So, even before droids, right, and cell phones, we often we thought about droids as from Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. R2-D2, C-3PO, right? These are not the droids you're looking for. And one of the things that we know about droids is that in many ways, they're a lot like those Star Wars droids. They're designed for a specific task. C-3PO, who's actually on display in the exhibit, was a protocol droid. So he had, he knew languages. R2-D2 was an engineer, right? So and that was his specific task. So it's a robot that performs a specific task.
Mm. Okay, so that's the difference between the word robot and android.
Yep. So the robot, if you look at robot as just as a word, a robot means something. It means an autonomous machine, something that can act just autonomously. But a droid usually has a very, very specific purpose. We think about an android, probably the most famous android ever is Data, right, from Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And, one of the things that set him apart was that not only could he do just one task, but he could do multiple tasks all at the same time. So,
yeah, love Data, that's for sure. Lynn and I interviewed the gentleman that was responsible at NASA for the latest Mars mission where the rover is roving. And then we interviewed the guy that was responsible for bringing the rover to the surface of Mars, specifically the parachutes and everything that they used to get it there safely. And then we interviewed someone that just knew everything about the rover. So Lynn and I are just intrigued with this Mars rover, and we want to drive a Mars rover. I understand that we might be able to do that at your place.
Yeah, so there's it's a simulation, basically, but you can go in and you can sit down and they give you you watch a little movie essentially about the Mars rover and about the about what it takes or what it took to get that down on the ground and how those kind of 6 minutes as it descends from the atmosphere onto the ground, how scary difficult that really was. But then, yeah, you kind of get to drive the Mars rover a little bit around the red planet and make it feel like you're right there on Mars, kind of exploring right along with NASA. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Recently in the news is a star system about 40 light years from here, which is pretty far away, very difficult to get to,
right,
at 16,000 miles an hour, which is our current top speed, I think. But there are 7 or 8 Earth-like planets which are revolving around there in what they call, of course, the Goldilocks zone, which is it's not too hot and it's not too cold to be able to have water on the surface and to be able to have the basic building blocks or ingredients for life. So there's a lot of possibilities out there, aren't there, Andrew?
Yeah, there really are. And that's one of the things that, the exhibit really talks about is that, for the longest time, it was thought to be really difficult to even get out to some of those places, or even to have the technology to get out to even consider that other solar systems like ours might exist. And the exhibit talks a lot about the fact that technology is progressing so quickly and so robustly that these kinds of discoveries are happening all the time, right? I read an article just the other day that said that NASA is now reconsidering reclassifying Pluto as a planet because we now have technology to go out there and really confirm and say, well, actually, no, it really is a planet, not just a moon orbiting some other planet. So, our technological advances have come so fast and so furious that it's allowed us to make some of these discoveries, and that's it's an exciting time that to live and to see all that kind of come to fruition.
Andrew, for you, we've talked to you enough about the various shows that come through the Leonardo that we know that you're a Trekkie and you're a huge Star Wars fan. And for someone like you, I mean, take us from, you know, Tony Stark's Iron Man suit to today, where this is possibly a reality. Some of this stuff that you have been coveting from the technology that's been science fiction for decades and decades now coming into reality. What's that like for you?
You know, I appreciate you calling me out on my geekdom there. I appreciate that very much, actually. But you're right. I love it. The amount of technology that's kind of growing and showcasing how technology can actually improve our lives, right? I always talk about the fact that technology, it's not what the technology does, it's what it does for you that really makes the most difference. I'll give you a good story when it comes to Iron Man, for example. So Iron Man is what they call a cyborg, right? A cyborg is part machine, part human. So Darth Vader would also be a cyborg, if you think about it in that way. There's been some technology advances in the last, say, 5 to 10 years that have allowed people who are without a limb, without an arm or a leg in some fashion or another, to kind of have these cybernetic, if you want to think about it in that way, arms or limbs that can help them to lead a normal life. In fact, we ran across the story of one young man. I believe he was in Oklahoma, who was born without his left arm, and engineers, scientists, doctors developed a fully functioning arm for him. Or mostly fully functioning arm for him, and because he was such a fan of Iron Man, actually Robert Downey Jr. came and found him, mm-hmm. and offered to have his arm, the new arm, painted just like Iron Man's arm. So now this kid without an arm now walks around with a cyborg arm that looks like Iron Man, and that just to me is the perfect mesh of science and technology making someone's life better. And then allowing kind of science fiction and fantasy to kind of inspire us to do those kinds of really cool things that can dramatically and drastically improve somebody's life. So that kind of stuff, when I see it come to fruition and realization within the exhibit in particular, is just it's a blast. And my kids, who are all also geeks, just they absolutely love it.
That's great. Does being a tech geek run in your DNA, or is that a learned behavior?
It definitely runs in my DNA. My father was a computer. He's worked in computers for years and years and years. In fact, he works for Oracle right now. My grandfather was an aerospace engineer. He worked for Lockheed Martin. My brother-in-law works for Lockheed Martin. It's kind of in our blood.
I love it.
I think Robert Downey Jr. should put together a complete, complete set for Elon Musk. Now, Tony Stark is a lot shorter than Elon Musk, but Elon Musk is our modern day Tony Stark.
He really is. Have you guys been watching and following the SpaceX launches that they've been doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is we just did we were just talking about it around the office here about. Whether or not we're going to be able to travel to Mars. We wrote a blog post on it last week, and apparently NASA has a goal to get to land somebody on Mars in the year 2030. And Elon Musk, being Elon Musk, wants to do it in 2024. So, and he's making progress based on the launch a couple days ago that went pretty well. He's making some good progress.
Elon Musk has a lot of goals. One of his goals is to die on Mars.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no. He wants to go there and start the colony thing, and that's one of his goals. It's just amazing. And you know what
that's
I like
really
about him is that he's going after big problems. And there's so many people in Silicon Valley that are trying to develop some sort of app that, there's like 300 flatulence apps on Apple or and Androids. I mean, these are not important problems they're solving, but Elon Musk is going after big things.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I think, one of the things that's fascinating about somebody like Elon Musk, who's, you know, very much a very much, you're right, the Tony Stark of our day, and really anybody who's kind of into technology for the right reasons. They kind of understand the point that technology that doesn't solve a problem is just technology for technology's sake. Whereas, you know, if we're thinking about what a particular problem is, how can we use technology to solve that problem, but also how can we incorporate science to solve that problem, or mathematics, or engineering, or art even, to solve any of those kinds of problems. And that's kind of one of the reasons why a museum like the Leonardo exists, because that's kind of our goal, is to say, listen, when you come here, we want you to use any and all disciplines to solve a particular problem or to research a particular topic. And with something like Alien Worlds and Androids, you can do that, right? There's the science and engineering and technology that goes into exploring space or exploring underwater or even exploring our own bodies. But there's also, you know, there's math that goes into that, but there's also art that that can inspire that. We talk about the fact that, you know, cell phones were inspired by the communicators on Star Trek, you know, all those years ago. Had Star Trek not had that, who knows if we would have smartphones today. So art and the humanities really kind of set the imagination aflame and allow other people who are, and allow folks who are interested in that kind of stuff to really bring to reality what they can imagine. My mother, you always used to tell me, you know, whatever the mind of man can imagine, it can create. And at the museum, that's exactly what we aim to do.
That's such great stuff. I want to get back to this in just a second. We have some more questions. We're speaking with Andrew Parker of the Leonardo. He sounds like the chief scientist there, but he's actually the chief marketing officer with a keen interest in technology and space-related things. We have a bit of a news flash here that we're going to interrupt our conversation with. The westbound lanes on I-80 are still closed, even though half hour ago, we announced that they would be opening up, according to UDOT, right around now. They're still closed. We are watching the situation closely, and we'll let you know when that will change. As I said before, UDOT said they may open a lane by 9:30 a.m. That has not happened yet. The westbound lanes still closed at Jeremy Ranch after last night. Tragic accident, fatal accident. Semi-trucks collided at Parley Summit. One was carrying crude oil. It caught fire. 1,500 gallons of oil burned and 200 gallons spilled onto the road. The truck driver, unfortunately, died in the fire. UDOT crews are trying to determine how badly the road is damaged. And that's why the road is still closed at this point. Also, there has been a lot of snow on the highway. They need to clear that, too. And we're actually just getting a new update from Renee Bodley, who just...
And that is that looking at the UDOT cameras, it appears that the lanes are now open.
Okay, so that has happened.
That's real time.
Just in the last couple of minutes. It's still very slow going. So postpone your trip to Salt Lake if you have the opportunity to do that. Some folks have been rerouted around I-84 or even through Provo Canyon, but just hold off on that if you can for a while.
And back with Andrew Parker, Alien Worlds and Androids is a 5,000-square-foot exhibit. There's 9 themed environments that will immerse museum-goers in all sorts of different discovery and theories on space travel and the possibility of life beyond the planet Earth. You mentioned earlier, Andrew, that the price of that, if you pay for general admission, you can go through this exhibit. It's not a special price, right?
Right. It's just included. So
I wanted to ask you about something, not in this particular exhibit, but up on your third floor is, I don't know if you'd call it a game or whatever, but we had Mark Sommer here, CFO and senior vice president from Oracle, and he is on your board at the Leonardo. His son develop some sort of tool. It's not, well, can you describe what it is?
Yeah, so Mark Sunday, is the CTO of Oracle, one of two, I believe, that they have. And his son developed something called the Alice Arcade. And what Alice Arcade is a tool that teaches kids how to basic Java programming by helping them build a video game. So, for example, my 8-year-old son, before he even knew what he wanted to do with his life, you know, I'd ask him. I said, "So, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And he said, "I have no idea." And I asked him, "Well, what do you like to do?" He's like, "Play video games, just like every other kid his age." I said, "Well, you know, you can make video games too as a job." And he's like, "That sounds awesome." So I took him down to Alice Arcade and let him kind of learn the coding aspects on how to create an actual video game. And it was such an inspiring moment for him. It was something that has really caught fire, that whenever he comes down to the museum, that's the first place he goes. And he'll spend hours there learning how to code, but also building a video game at the same time. And he loves it. And it's a tremendous tool that kind of gets past some of the weirdness of coding and some of the difficulty in coding languages, and really gets to the heart of, if you write good code, this is what it can do. And it's just, it's a really tremendous tremendous tool, and something that when people work with it, they spend hours on it. So I try to get my son down here when there's not too many people down here, so we're not, you know, affecting the guests too much, but yes, he loves it.
Well, lucky for you, Andrew, it sounds like you're going to be paying in-state tuition, none of this out-of-state tuition, because the University of Utah has one of the top gaming computer science programs in the country, if not number one.
They do.
At least a couple of years ago, it was number one.
They do. Well, you know, and the video game industry here in Utah is really growing, and you know, Disney Interactive has a studio here. Electronic Arts has a studio here. I used to work for a company called Sculptured Software years and years and years ago that developed video games, and I tested video games for a long time. So you know, and so there's a lot of companies that are coming out here to make those games. Part of it is obviously due to the tremendous programs that we have here. You mentioned the U; they have probably the best one of the best in the country, if not the best. And then BYU as well puts out more computer science engineers than just about any other school across the country, other than say your Stanfords or your Caltechs. So the amount of people here that love technology and that enjoy seeing how technology can be used to benefit and help other people's solve any number of problems is pretty tremendous. And you know, the exhibit is really kind of a nice way for folks to kind of come down and say, yeah, this is, you know, this is what we're doing to make the world a better place.
Yeah, all kinds of tie-in here to what you're doing at the Leonardo, and what you've just talked about is the job creation in tech jobs in the Salt Lake Valley is incredible. And we hear more and more about it. And, you know, we think we're pretty tuned into these things. And then just, you know, as you talk about companies that we've not even known about creating jobs in the Salt Lake Valley, great tech jobs. And a lot of these kids are coming out of our local higher education institutions. Wonderful.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, the quality of life here in Utah is great, and so I think that's part of why these companies come here, is that they say, hey, we get great engineers who are really dedicated, who are well educated, you know, who don't have you know, who want to have a good, you know, a good family and have a great job, and they can they're able to participate or able to create great software in a very low stress environment. So it's just it's fascinating for me to watch the tech boom here. I worked for a little while down in the Silicon Slopes area, and it was really interesting to just come into work every day and just be like, well, there's another one that came up, there's another one, and it's fun to watch them pop up and see all the cool stuff that's happening.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Andrew Parker. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at the Leonardo Museum in Salt Lake. That's right next to the Salt Lake Library. And talking about the Alien Worlds and Android show, it actually debuted at the end of January, and there was a gala event that you opened with. It sounded like something right up your alley, definitely. But, you know, want to talk about some of the other features of this exhibit, this moving exhibit that we have not spoken about yet.
Yeah, so one of the things that's really kind of interesting and that people don't realize is we consider it very much alien life, is something called the human microbiome. And so what the human microbiome is they're essentially a bunch of microorganisms that reside within human tissue or within biofluids or within the skin or glands or any of those kinds of things. One of the things that that I learned in the exhibit that I didn't know is that the human mouth actually is home to 5,000 different kinds of bacteria. You don't really think about how much that is, and it gave me a little bit of pause when I learned that. But those microbiomes are really independent life forms that are designed to both help heal the body and keep the body in good working order. In the case of the bacteria in your mouth, they're designed to help break down food so that it's easier to digest it as it gets into your system. There's plenty of bacteria, live bacteria in your liver and in your stomach to help make sure that food gets translated translated into energy. And so, and there's thousands of microbiomes throughout your skin that help keep it healthy and help keep it in proper working order. So there's a great portion of the exhibit that's based on the human microbiome and learning about how there's really alien life just even inside of us that we didn't even know, say 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Love talking about the human microbiome. We're going to put the microbiome on hold for just one more news flash to interrupt this program. Again, with the update on I-80 traffic from Park City to Salt Lake City, I-80 is now open, but it's slow going, according to the latest update from UDOT. Now, westbound traffic is using the on-off ramps at Summit Park. It looks like they're detouring traffic off of the highway there and then back on. So if you're driving that direction, expect delays. The westbound lanes were closed at Jeremy Ranch last night, of course, after two semi-trucks collided at Parley's Summit. 200 gallons of oil spilled, crude oil spilled onto the road, 1,500 gallons of oil burned. It was a big mess. They're trying to get that cleaned up now. Alternate routes, of course, to Salt Lake City are 80 eastbound through I-84 through Ogden Canyon, then I-15 south, or take Highway 40 through Heber, down through Provo Canyon, and then I-15 north. And continuing with our conversation with Andrew Parker of the Leonardo.
Yeah, Andrew, we want to make sure you tell us all about this exhibit. Are there any other things that you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, I'll just mention two real quick things. The first thing is that in addition to kind of some of the microbiome stuff, there's also a nice little portion of the exhibit on alien life, basically underwater. You can come see a replica of a 13-foot man crab. It's about as tall as, it's about 13 feet wide, but if it stands up on its legs, it's about 6 feet tall, and it's a little creepy. The crab, in and of itself, was one of the inspirations behind the xenomorph alien from the movie Aliens, which we also have on display here. And that's one of the other things that's great about the exhibit. You can come and see these great replicas of stuff from Hollywood. So there's xenomorph there. There's Tony Stark's Iron Man suit. There's the head of the Terminator robot that you can kind of move around, and it'll creep you out a little bit. There's R2-D2, C-3PO. There's even Robbie the Robot from The Forbidden Planet, if you guys remember that great old movie.
And, of course.
And then also Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is actually one of my still all-time favorite sci-fi movies because of how transcendent it was for the time and how scary it really was to see that giant silver robot descend out of the UFO. So you can see all of those kind of fun things here at the exhibit, and it's a lot of fun.
It's fascinating how fiction can inform real life and how we can be influenced and how all that comes together.
Yeah, I agree. It really is an inspiration. You know, certainly for me, I get a lot of my inspiration from Star Trek. So that's kind of how it works, which is great.
Well, we're so excited for you, especially Andrew Parker, that you could have this show, this traveling exhibit, make its way towards the Leonardo. Give us all the details on, I know the show's been open since the end of January. How long will it be open? What does entry cost for kids, adults, and what are the hours?
Yeah, so the exhibit will be here until May 6th. Entrance is $12.95 for adults, $8.95 for kids. And it gets you access to not only the Alien Worlds and Androids exhibit, but all of our other exhibits too, like Flight and Perception, the Engineering Lab, Art Lab, all that other fun stuff. So it's a great way to come and spend a couple of hours. We have a couple of other things, fun things planned for later on in here. Since we're closing on May 6th, that weekend we're going to do a May the 4th weekend. So May the 4th be with you. So there'll be a lot of fun parties and costume parties that'll go along that weekend. So keep an eye on the website at theleonardo.org for more details on that.
Andrew Parker, Chief Marketing Officer for the Leonardo. Andrew, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, you bet. Guys, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. Great speaking with you.
Thank you. We shall return with a final cool story right after these messages.
This is Chris Robinson with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties. KPCW is one of the many nonprofits our agents and company support. They are the backbone of Summit and Wasatch counties in our incredible community. More info at bhhsutah.com.
Spend the day and cover billions of years at the Natural History Museum of Utah. The museum offers innovative exhibits and hands-on experiences. Native voices explore the traditions of Utah's native peoples. The Great Salt Lake Gallery tells the story of the largest saltwater lake in the Western Hemisphere. The Past Worlds exhibit includes more than a dozen new species of dinosaurs discovered right here in Utah. Visit nhmu.utah.edu. The Natural History Museum of Utah is a nonprofit organization and a KPCW supporter.
And welcome back to Cool Science Radio. John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peak. Want to give a little tease out for next week on Cool Science Radio. We're going to have a gentleman who is the deputy director for NASA, and he will be with us to talk about Raven, which is a piece of technology that's going up into the International Space Station. It's going to be an experiment to get us to the point where we can have autonomous satellite repair drones that will be able to go out and repair satellites. And satellites operate at 16,000 miles per hour as they fly around our world. And these autonomous drones will also be traveling at 16,000 miles per hour. So it's a very delicate maneuver, and they'll be making their own decisions. We're not there yet, but this new piece of technology that we'll be talking to this gentleman about will be here soon.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
We've got one more quick break for an underwriter. We'll come back and wrap up the show.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided in part by AMA Waterways and Park City Air, Cruise, and Travel, 565-4730, parkcityaircruiseandtravel.com. Park City Bike Demos, Kearns Boulevard next to Adolph's, parkcitybikedemos.com. Long, Reimer, Weiniger, Bepler, Estate Planning, Family Law, lrw-law.com, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and listeners like you.
Thanks for tuning in to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with John Wells. I want to thank our guests today, Andrew Parker from the Leonardo in Salt Lake, the Leonardo Museum, and a great show there, Alien Worlds and Androids, running through the beginning of May. So make sure you check that out. We also want to thank our underwriters, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties, Peak Art and Frame, Nexus IT, the Natural History Museum of Utah, and Park City Resort.
And a little tease for tomorrow on the Morning Mix, we have the amazing Kreskin that'll be on the phone with us talking about his new book. He's making some prophecies. As you might know, he's not a magician, has no props. He reads people's minds and looks into the future. So I'm looking forward to that.
You've got to be excited about that. You're listening to KPCW Park City. It's time now to head to national news.